said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and the Father and I are one. And I'm on the prayer ministry team every once in a while, and I, for whatever reason, don't have a name tag yet, so I wear my dad's. And there was one time I wasn't on the prayer team here, but before church, someone needed prayer, and a dear lady friend here came up and was like, hey, come here, Brian will pray for you, Brian will pray for you. And I didn't have my tag on or anything. I'm like, yeah, well, I didn't correct her. It was more about the person. So I went and prayed for this guy, and I thought, you know, I think she was right on, because there's a mantle that's been given to me by my dad, and she saw the spiritual anointing, I guess, that my dad's given me. And so I really appreciated that. And before we get started here, I just wanted to say, Dad, thanks for being such a good father and raising me right and doing a great job and making it about relationship and showing me how to relate to the Heavenly Father and being such a great example. I just want to honor you today. So thank you. We're going to do a bunch of stuff. I'll just give you a brief synopsis, kind of, kind of how it went growing up. It was fun, and Dad was doing things right. He brought us to church every week, every Sunday, every Wednesday. We were in Sunday school. We got water baptized here, and he baptized us, baptized me, went to children's church. And, he did it perfect, I guess, right? But a wonderful thing happened then when I was just into college that we'll get into, but something changed, and it became about the relationship over doing things right. And that's a better way to go. And it changed my life because of how it changed his. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, your overview.
Okay. Very similar. Melora and I were very excited to have children, and we invested everything that we did for our children. We built a home in the country to raise them, and we've been in this church our entire time for 30 or maybe close to 40 years, and we invested our time in our sons and our money, all our efforts. And I was all about doing it right. It was God-centered, loving and protecting and providing for them. And I was very glad when Travis was born. And we prayed with our boys every single night until maybe when they got in their teenage years, then they either weren't there or I don't know why, what happened there, but that sort of stopped. So we didn't pray, tuck them in every night. I guess when we stopped doing that, we didn't pray with him. And I'm proud to be Tavis's dad. And I was there for Tavis's first, like when he took his first breath when he was born, and when he took his first steps when he walked, his first taste of Pepsi when they were a little kid. And of course, he made a sour face, but he wanted more. And I think Melora probably. She was with him more. She homeschooled our sons. And so I wasn't always there when they accepted Jesus as their Savior or received the Holy Spirit. But I was still involved some, right? And when he rode his bike and when he hit his first baseball, I was there. Water baptism, and we made sure all the boys had pets. He had a cat named Fluffy. And it was interesting because we had them all learn how to swim in the Goshen Gators. They were in that for 3 years and
forced to swim. We didn't want to, but they decided it was important, and so we struggled through it.
But one thing, they don't have any middle names, and so they all had pets. And so Tavis, Amundsen, and so what they decided to do, the boys, and Tavis decided my middle initial will be F. Or Fluffy. So, and the others, one of them had a dog named Zeke, so his middle initial was Z. So they all had got their middle initials that way, but it's not legal. And then I was there when scene, but on our property. And I was there when he got his first car and when he got his first ticket, and helped him find, after they got a few more, to go to a lawyer so they could keep driving. You know, same thing.
It does work. Keeps insurance down. They go to court and reduce your tickets and stuff. They took defensive driving twice. I used to drive kind of fast, right, Jim Dreyer? Now that's his department, but.
And they're true to form because I also had a lot of speeding tickets. But I haven't had any for many years now, maybe 5 to 8 years. I wanted to shoot a gun. We went camping. And I wanted to tell you one of the things we prayed every night, almost every night with them, not just for protection and health, but that we were praying for their wives because we knew they were growing up somewhere else. And so we were always praying the future for them too, and among other things. And so far, three of them, their job was to find a wife. And three of them have found that woman that's for them. And Tavis did a good job. I have a little more I'll tell about that later. But I was there when they had their first child, not in the delivery room, but within an hour afterwards. And when I came up to the Goshen Hospital, Marilyn had a menu, and she was ordering food, and I could hardly believe how good she looked. And she had just had a baby less than an hour earlier. But they're wonderful. They have grandchildren. We have seven. And Janice has an advantage over his brothers because he didn't move away when he was 18. He stayed in the area. And he's seen me change a lot over the last 11 years. I did a lot of things. I was a doing father. I did a lot of things right. But I've learned the secret of being a father, not doing or trying, and a grandfather. So that's my overview, and we'll get into a little bit more.
Story time. Okay. Some of the things that I enjoyed growing up, especially when we lived out in the country on County Road 33, we lived back down a long driveway about 500 feet off the road, and when my dad would come home, sometimes he, before he actually got to our house, he'd honk his horn a bunch of times so we'd know he was coming. And so whoever was home would, run as fast as they could down the driveway to ride in the back of his pickup truck up the drive. So if we saw the dog start barking or heard the truck honking, we'd just tear out of the house or wherever we were and sprint down to the end of the driveway. And he'd stop and wait for us. We'd jump in the back, and then he'd drive up. And sometimes he knew he liked it, so he would take a detour, and we'd speed around the property, and he'd do all kinds of fun stuff. We'd be holding on in the back. I don't know why we do that now, where'd it come from, you know. Well, I think that's on there. Yeah, he liked to, sometimes he would, there was a stream that ran along the one side of our property, and some of the banks were pretty tall and straight down, 8-10 feet. And so he would back his truck up to the bank so that just on the other side of the tailgate was this drop-off, you know, to kind of scare us or whatever. And one time my oldest brother was messing around, and he fell out and fell down the embankment into the street. And he was okay, but it kind of scared me. I was a little young. I don't remember. I think my dad felt bad. I don't even know if he knew it happened. But that was a lot of fun. They got us pets. I guess you guys know about my very manly pet and what the name was and all that. And they had this great place out in the country where we grew up on some acreage and stream and hills, and it was every boy's dream, and it suited every part of life as a young person. We played baseball in the front, and we built forts and played in the stream for hours, and we had a go-kart and dirt bikes that we rode around the property. And we started to get cars and stuff, and in college especially, I had this Jeep Wrangler that was all jacked up and big tires, and we turned the backyard into a big mud pit and had friends over, and we did lots of mudding, and it was just a great place to grow up. And I guess I can't segue into that yet, telling stories. We had some people, as we got to know friends, asked if we were Amish because we had no TV. We played outside, didn't get the newspaper. It was just a bunch of stuff. Didn't have a computer for many years. That's just kind of how it was. But it taught us to use imagination to play outside, and I think it was a good thing. We did spend quite a bit of time at the Dryers that had just crossed the road, and we'd go play baseball with their boys during the summer, probably 5 days a week sometimes, over there playing. That was a lot of fun, so I honed my skills at Jim's house, I guess. We took family trips, lots of family trips, vacations. We're visiting family in Wisconsin and Canada. The Wisconsin folks on my dad's side live about 500 miles away, and then my mom's side in Canada is about 1,000 miles away, so it's a bit of a drive. And my family in Wisconsin, I guess my grandparents, their church, run a camp on a lake up there. It's pretty nice, but we would go up once or twice a year and help work on the camp and hang out there. There was one time it's very secluded. The last 2 hours of the drive or so are like there's nothing. It's just like a road through the woods. And about 100 miles from the camp, the radiator blew, and we were pretty much stranded. There was no gas stations or service stations, vacant, abandoned road, no one's going by. And so what we did, we found a container in the car, and then we scoured for streams or water sources, and then we dip out of those and put it in the radiator, and then we drive for a mile, coast, stop, look for another water source. How many hours did it take to that last 100 miles? 4 hours. It was quite an experience. At first, it was really frustrating. I was like, let's just get it. I think somehow it might have brought us together. So there's been some stuff. Birthday parties. They went all out for our birthdays. Mom and Dad, we had birthday blowouts. Tons of friends would come. We'd decorate the house. We'd do treasure hunts around the land. We'd go from one place to the next, looking for the treasure, the baseball cards and candy or whatever it was. And we'd pinatas and play games. And they bought us way too much candy. Thank you. We would make these elaborate birthday lists and get almost everything on it. Boxes of bubble gum like that. The chocolate bar boxes you see in the store, we get a whole box of that. Mom loved it, right? I think we were rationed what we could have per day. They were pretty lavishing on those days. Are there any memories you have?
I just want to say that I am not a perfect father, and I did make a lot of mistakes and things I regret. If I could take what I know now and go back and start over, I would. But even though I made mistakes and, whatever, did things in anger or I wasn't there at the right time, God the Father, filled in where I lack. And so it did work out really good. I am not perfect by any means. They were not perfect either. So we did discipline them. But I want to just tell you just briefly a couple of stories where God helped me. One is when we moved in to our house. Tavis was 4 and his brothers were 5 or 6 and 7, something like that. And one of them, they each had their own little room before they all slept in one room. And the first night, the oldest son did not want to stay in there. He wanted to be in our room and sleep on the floor, and I didn't want to get him started. So I was kind of asking God, what do I do? And he gave me an idea. I just took a rope, and I went to his room, and I tied it around his pillow and ran it down to the floor, across his room, under his door, across the hall, under our door, across our room, up to my side of the bed, tied it to my pillow. And then I said, if you need me, jerk the rope 3 times and I'll come over. Or if you just want to check, jerk it twice and I'll jerk it back twice. And so I did that, and sure enough, after 10 minutes, I got 2 jerks. Then I jerked it twice, and he just wanted to know that I was there. And the next night, he didn't need it, never needed it again. But that was just something God showed me. And another thing was his twin brother, they all played baseball. But he would not swing at the ball. He could when we would practice. not get him to hit the ball. So I helped coach behind the scenes. And what I told him, I said, if you get a walk, I'll give you 50 cents. If you swing on the third strike, I'll give you a dollar. And if you ground out or fly out, I'll give you $2.50. And if you hit the ball and get on base, I'll give you $5. And we did that for a whole season. And he started swinging that bat. He never got to hit. But he did make a little money. And, of course, he became a really good baseball player.
I was a little jealous because I could hit and I wasn't getting paid.
We didn't, if we gave one something, we didn't feel like we had to do the same thing for each one. And then I just want to tell you what really kind of started changing my life was, February 2nd, 2004, I was on my way to work. There was a little bit of snow on the ground, and I was going very fast down a road, over 75, close to 80, a couple miles from my home. It was dark outside. When I came over a little hill, I hit a snowdrift, and when I saw it, I knew I couldn't do anything. And it turned me sideways, and there was a big tree right where I was going to go off the road into a field that's out near Dorothy Carpenter's place, Airport Road, County Road 33 and 42. And when I hit the road, my car started flipping. It flipped like 6 times. And I just said, Jesus, help me, right before I went off the road. And when the first time I hit the ground, I thought this must be what it's like to die. And I just figured I'd die. And what I did, it kept bouncing, it seemed like forever. And when it landed, it finally landed upright. I thought, well, surely I'm paralyzed. But I could move everything. And I thought, well, this is incredible. And I actually climbed out. And but I still figured there was something wrong. And then I called my sons. They were, three of them were still at home. One had just graduated from college. He was home. They were going to school. And then they came out.
Yeah. Let's see. How did I don't. I mean, my brother, Jory, came downstairs and said, Dad was in an accident. I'm like, oh, boy. And so the three of us went out there, and Dad was standing alongside the road. I was like, Dad, did you have an accident? He's like, yeah. You know, maybe just a little blood on his forehead. Maybe there was some glass cut, but he was fine. Cars out in the middle of the field, damaged pretty bad, and it's like, wow, well, this is something. And then he wanted to go to work. He's like, can you take me to work?
Yeah. When Travis came, I said, go out and pick up all my stuff that fell out of the car. Most of the windows were broke, except one. And he said, how'd you get the car out there? There's no tire tracks. And it was because of it. And they had to use flashlights because it was dark. But when they came back, they said there was a sticker and the one window in the back didn't break out. And I said, no, I don't have any stickers. And when I went out there, sure enough, here was this sticker. And I should tell you that I had been praying on the way to work. And like 3 months earlier, I went to an ancient Baptist seminar. And it's about the Father's blessing. And I said, I know I'm blessed, but can you show me someday that I'm truly blessed? And what had happened when the car was flipping was this pamphlet, evidently from that seminar, was somewhere in my car. And when it was flipping, somebody stuck it in the window as it was flipping. And the pamphlet said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And so then I knew that it was, you know, God had protected me, and that he was pleased with me, because it just impacted my life. And when I got home that morning, I made it to work. I was a couple hours late, but I felt wonderful, great, like I couldn't explain it. And the next day, I didn't want to admit it to people, but I actually felt better then than I did before the accident. And people at work were asking me if I'd lost weight. Was it my birthday? You sure look great. And I had several things, too, that were wrong with me. One was my right leg would swell up 2 inches bigger than my left every day. And at night, swelling would go back down. Well, my leg never swelled up again. I had drainage from my ears at night, and my ears have never drained. And That's where we marked our height as they were growing up. And I grew about 3/4 of an inch from that accident. There's some other things too, but also it changed my character and my personality. And they noticed it right away. It changed who I was. I had to get to know myself over again. You want to say anything? We don't have much time.
Each week's get 2.5 minutes or something. So I wanted to talk about blessing our children. If you've got kids, you know how much you love them. And everyone is a child of someone. And blessing our children is one of the best things we can do for them. And I wanted to read in Psalms 127, 3-5. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. So children are definitely a blessing and a heritage from the Lord. So, I mean, I'm thinking let's have as many as we can, right? Let's bring heaven to earth that way. I love my boys, and I try, you know, after, you know, my dad showed me how relationship is more powerful and more effective than doing it right. I've been trying to do that, not do it from here, but do it from here. And, man, I love my boys. But a father has a lot of power, let me say something, with their kids, with what you say, with how you interact, with how you bless or curse them, you know, with your words. Little moments in the day when you interact, you're speaking life or death to your children one way or another. You know, you can praise them if they give you this colored paper or if they mow the grass or make their bed or do good in school or, you know, then if you're in a moment of weakness, maybe you say something that's not so nice and you don't realize it and a parent wants to hurt their kid, but it's like speaking death over them. And so it's good to try and speak life. Real quick story. It was one time I was mowing at my parents' house, and I was trying to get done real fast, and I was mowing by these pine trees. My dad likes to plant these pine trees. And I got too close, and I turned in. Somehow, I sawed off this, like, 3-inch in diameter pine tree with the lawnmower. And I was like, oh, no, my dad's going to be mad. And so I got off the mower and tried to stick it back where it was. And later, I don't know, that day or the next day, Dad was talking to me. He's like, so did you mow over a pine tree? And it's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. And he wasn't mad. I was like, oh, that's nice. And he created a safe place to make mistakes. And so it was easy to live life, real life there. Like, you know, in college, I stayed at home and commuted to school, and I had a big subwoofer in my room, and we played loud music late at night and on weekends, and it didn't mind. And you know, we tore up this yard with off-road vehicles, and of course, my mom had to put up with all this too. But just a safe place and spoke blessing, and so all our friends, of course, wanted to come over to our house because we could do all this stuff. But that's just one way that we can bless our kids is to make it a safe place for them to make mistakes, to say and do the wrong things, and then we have the opportunity to speak life into them. Just like our Heavenly Father wants to do with us. Our Heavenly Father is safe. Daddy wants to just be right in the mess with us.
I just want to say this. The secret of becoming a better father is to focus on the Heavenly Father. And that's why Jesus came, was to reveal the Father to us. And he points us to the Father. And knowing and doing what is right is okay, but relationship will really complete you as a father. The emphasis should be on the relationship first, and the right, doing it right, will follow that. I just want to read. A year ago, Tavis and I actually went to visit a guy in prison on Father's Day, someone that I sort of fathered. And so I typed up a Father's Day card for our Heavenly Father. You can't find one at Walmart. And I just says, Happy Father's Day to the Father of us all and Father of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 8:6. We We know we have only one God, the Father. You created everything, and we live for you. And we have only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom you made everything and gave us life. And then I wrote, from Tavis, and I wrote, thank you for your unconditional love towards us all and the relationship we have with you as our Father. You are the best and only. We put our trust in you and your Son, Jesus. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to live in us and guide us. Thank you. We love you, Dad. You're two of your sons. Then we signed it, Tavis and Brian. I don't know what you do with that paper. Oh, I still have it. Okay, should we end there? Do you want a couple of stories?
I'm not quite done. Yeah, we're short on time. I just also want to say that there's specific times that are really good for imparting blessing to children, kind of more formal. And we've started to do that after going through ancient paths, realizing the importance of it. There's stories in there about kids who are kind of made some maybe bad decisions or being rebellious, and then a father in particular comes to them and blesses them. Speaks life into them, and their lives just change. And so we're going to continue to do it throughout life, but we have decided to do that for our kids and our boys around their first birthday. We invite close family and friends. My parents come, and we each write a blessing, and we read it over them, and they may not understand it right then, but we keep it in the folder. And just speak into their future and into their destiny. And every father has a blessing to give to their children, whether they think they've received one from their father or not. And it's very important that we do that. If you haven't done it, you can still do it. If you're on the, just having kids, it's a good thing to do. And your Heavenly Father has a blessing for you, too. And if you don't think you've received that, come at 9 o'clock on Sundays, and we'll pray for you because it just changes your life. So, a blessing. I thought maybe I'd just read the one that we did for Asher. He had for his first birthday in February, and I'll just try and get through this because we don't have a lot of time. But so this is what, as Dad, I wrote for my son. I didn't expect that. Okay. Asher, you are my son whom I love. I am pleased with you just because you're my son. I'm very proud to be your dad. I was excited when I knew you were on the way in Mommy's tummy. I was full of joy when you were born. As soon as we found out you were on the way, your mom and I loved you. I love your mom so much, Asher. I love your brother, Gabriel, and I will love any other children we have. You are a blessing and an inheritance from the Lord. I love and am fully committed with all my heart to my Jesus, whom I love. Asher, your Heavenly Father loves you so very much. May the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, may you have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him. You can trust him fully. Talk to him whenever you want. He cares for you and is always on your side. May you know him personally and intimately. May you encounter his love in powerful ways as you grow and walk with the Holy Spirit all the days of your life. God has an amazing calling and destiny for you, my son. May it come forth to full fruition in your life. You can rest in Jesus and trust him to fulfill it. You don't have to force it. My son, Asher, I bless you in Jesus' name. I call forth your destiny on your life that aligns with the kingdom of heaven and all its blessings and benefits. Your wife is blessed and protected for you even now. You have a family and generations inside you that will be blessed and bless many. May you always have favor with God and man. May you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. In finances, relationships, health, wisdom, understanding, and revelation. You will have a way with people and be able to overlook things that most people would not, and you won't take offense or hold any bitterness in your heart. This character will bring forth fruit in all areas of your life. You are physically healthy and strong. You have great athletic ability and can perform great tasks or skills at work and play. You like to have fun and enjoy being with people. May everything you set your hand, mind, and heart to do prosper. I love you, my son. You don't have to earn my love. I love you just because. And that was what I did for my one-year-old this past February. So
I think we're done. Is that good? Job well done, guys. Appreciate that very much. Let's give another hand. I really appreciate them sharing it with us. All right. Appreciate the part on how we can impart destiny and blessing. We have that opportunity to impart that to our children. And maybe you didn't receive that, maybe as growing up, you didn't receive that blessing from your dad. I want to encourage you,
this is a part of an APSIP PAS seminar, and that's going to be coming up in September. I don't have exact dates on that. We're having that in September, so with more information coming about with that seminar. So I encourage you to take that seminar in and how you can impart that. All right. It's just exciting to me that God can come in and just fill in the gaps. And how he wants to work. Maybe we've been inadequate, or maybe our fathers have been inadequate. God wants to come in and redeem situations and fill those gaps for us. So I just want to encourage you to receive that. A lot of great stories here to encourage us to allow God to fill those gaps. Okay, guys, it's time to receive our gifts. And we've got some cool gifts. I guess you. I've been seeing them excited. We're trying to flashlight at each other once in a while. It's good. But we have a great gift here, flashlight. So you can don't shy to madness, okay? But anyway, it says, be strong and courageous. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go, Joshua 1:9. So, and these are actually ones that don't have batteries. And actually, you know, hand pump on them, so you never have to put batteries in them. Now that, you got my flashlights at home, we got 5 or 6 flashlights, so the battery's working. You ever have that happen to you? Yeah, I feel that head shaking here. So, let's come up here. We're going to have the elderettes. They're going to come up. The former elderettes, they're going to come, and they're going to be giving gifts to you. What's that? And for Father's Day?
Jim, you got to demonstrate this. This is just, I haven't gotten any work done this week because I've been playing with this flashlight. But see, you just pop this baby out. Some of the guys, you figure this out real fast, but your wife might get a hold of it. But you just pop this baby, see, and it generates electricity. I love that. It's a little, when the emphasis were like, oh, you get electricity, did you? Okay, yeah. Some of their neighbors didn't have electricity, so this would be really good. All right. Okay.
So, dads, your dad here, want to encourage you to come down these side aisles, and then you can return down the center aisle at the very end. So, come on up here, and the elders will hand you one of these flashlights. So, come on up. Shine those back at you, you know. So I got lined up here too. So, hey, just wanted to know that the worship band guys are up here this morning. Thought that we were going to be giving you tasers, but I'm sorry to disappoint you that we didn't do that. So you have to, you know, be okay with the flashlights. So. All right. Hey, you know, I encourage you if you're here and you have not given your life to Christ, you have to be a Christ follower. And understand who our Father is and how the Father wants to speak to you and come and be a major part of your life. We have these red bags you can pick up, and you can take one of those, and someone will be here to unpack that for you. and say, I want to commission you as a father to go out and be the father that God wants you to be. So let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we just want to receive that scripture that you have said, that we're to be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous, that's who we want to be. And we want you to be with us wherever we go. God, I just want to pray for destiny. I speak destiny. I speak blessing over all the fathers. God, may you just empower them by your Holy Spirit to pick up that mantle and fulfill the call of God that you have placed on their lives. God, I pray we just want to receive all that you have for us. And I just thank you for what you're going to do within our lives and within our hearts. We just thank you for just coming and meeting with us in Jesus' name. Amen.